In a moment, you're about to hear from Robert Stanley, an incredible guest of Coast to Coast. I chatted with him a couple of years ago, had amazing response. Well, he's back with us. He is a noted author, researcher, webmaster, hosts his own radio hour as well. And we will get into so many different topics with him, including ET disclosure next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Robert Stanley, of course, is a webmaster of UnicusMagazine.com. He is the host of Unicus Radio Hour. He has served as a correspondent for America's Morning News and America's Radio News Network. He has traveled extensively to nearly 60-plus countries during his lifelong pursuit of modern and ancient mysteries. And over the past 30 years, his quest for unique ideas and information has led him to research and write about many controversial topics as well. He is live in Hong Kong. Robert, what are you doing out there?
This is where I live now, George. I've been here like 3.5 years now.
Well, good for you. Do you like it? You must.
Well, it's been good to me and the rest of my family, including my dog. We're actually doing really well here.
How do you bring a dog that far? I mean, was that's a project all by itself, isn't it?
Right, because prior to this, even though I'm originally from Los Angeles, we lived almost 8 years in Rhode Island. So he flew out of Boston to Frankfurt at some really high-end doggy, they say it's like a 5-star doggy hotel, so you could take a break. They say it's too far to fly. It's hazardous to their health that they have to go direct, nonstop. So anyway, he spent some time in Frankfurt, and then they dropped him off here in Hong Kong. And he, poor dog, I mean, he didn't have any idea what was going on. He was frazzled. But, yeah, he's fine. He loves it here.
Oh, that's great. It's good. It's good to get you back again, too, to chat with you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm very grateful that you would have me back.
Now, and how long are you going to stay in Hong Kong, by the way? I mean, are you going to make it a permanent residence?
No. We're just here for work. I mean, actually, my wife is the one who works at a Fortune 500 company, so they contracted her to come here. And at this point, it's an open-ended situation. We could be here for quite. I've met so many expats here. They say, well, I signed up for 2 years, I've been here for 20. So I don't know if that's going to happen to us or what.
Well, super. Well, if you get back here and you get back to Los Angeles, look us up, okay?
I will. Thank you.
We'll do that. Now, you have managed to photograph a fleet of UFOs over Hong Kong not too long ago. Tell me about that.
Yeah, July 21st, I believe it was. And this seems to be part of an ongoing disclosure that is unofficial, but it is real nonetheless. And how that all happened was, as you said, I'm a host of my own radio show called the Unicus Radio Hour, and I've been putting it out there that I wanted to get a bona fide extraterrestrial on the program, which I know that's a huge ask.
That would be a great score if you could pull that off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to do it for ratings. I just think it has to happen at some point. We need to have a dialogue outside of the officialdom because I'm not really keen on, you know, the way it's going currently with these retired CIA people telling us what they think we should believe. I'm not really feeling good about it. I want to know for sure directly from their mouth without any kind of official censorship or pressure. So anyway, I put it out there, and I'm thinking, you know, that's a silly thing. It's probably not going to happen. I'm contacted by an Indian guru who says that her people know of me, and she wanted to speak to me. Well, okay. That seemed kind of weird, but I know there's people, just like you have on your show, there's people listening all over the planet now,
yeah,
since we are streaming on the Internet.
Exactly.
So I called her up, and she says, start talking to me, and she says she's from Venus, and that she... So we get this really weird conversation going. I say, you know, would you mind coming on my program here in about 20 minutes? And so we did that. And then the very next day, it evolved into something really unexpected, okay? And this is what I'm trying to tell you. That's how come after a couple weeks later, as a form of confirmation, I was taking pictures of Mars off the balcony here where I live in Hong Kong. And I didn't. All I was looking at was at Mars. Okay, and
I—that's all you saw at the time, right?
Yeah, and I was looking through a single lens reflex, a digital Nikon D500, which is a pretty good sensor. I had a 500 millimeter lens on a tripod, and I mean, I should have been able to see these things if they were in the visible range of human eyesight. But So after I took the pictures, I noticed there was these little specks of light, and I blew it up and increased the contrast. And my God, George, you can see for yourself, that's only 6 frames out of 120. There was an entire fleet of UFOs out over somewhere out over Hong Kong that night. I know it looks like they're dancing around Mars, but in fact, that they couldn't be that far away because my camera, my lens would have never picked that up. But what they're doing here, I have no idea at all, other than the fact it coincided with this disclosure. I don't know what else to call it. It seems like that they were responding to my request for further communication. And just to be clear, if you go to my website at unicusmagazine.com, you can look at this for yourself, and you can also see other photographs I've taken over the course of my life of UFOs showing over my house. So to be blunt, I am a contactee or experiencer, whatever you want to call it, and I'm sure we can talk about that more.
Sure. And what is your personal belief now about extraterrestrials?
Well, some of them are benevolent. Some of them clearly are not. They're malevolent, and they're psychopathic, actually. It's unfortunate.
That's not good, especially if they have high technology.
Yeah, and especially if they're here covertly. That's really not good for
them. No.
And that seems to be the case. Okay,
well, David Jacobs has always said that they are not friendly. And, you know,
some of them are not. But here's the bottom line. For me, they're all family. I mean, clearly, we know this. Families are not perfect. Some of them are highly dysfunctional, but we're family nonetheless. And you can't break that bond. I mean, you could try, but it's really not possible. And it's not healthy either, by the way. So I do think part of the situation is here, some of these extraterrestrials have been quarantined here. And I do think that they are, somebody's trying to rehabilitate them.
So you're at the point where you have no doubts that we're being visited, we've been visited, they're here. You have no doubts about that.
Right, and that we're all related. I'm that much, I'm sure. And look, last time I talked to you, I said I was working on a book about the hidden history of Malibu.
Well, I'm still getting emails about you, by the way.
I know. It's a very controversial topic, and it's not all about movie stars, but of course, having grown up there, I've met movie stars, so that adds to the intrigue, okay?
The mystique, yeah.
I don't know why they're so curious about movie stars, but there's also star people there. The extraterrestrials have shown up in Malibu repeatedly, and I didn't fully understand it, and that's just why it's taken me this long. I wasn't going to write the book until I fully understand my role in all of that, and only in the last few weeks, George, has this finally come to a point of clarity where I can go ahead and finish this book. So next time you and I speak, I will have a copy, or you'll have a copy of the book. It'll be out there, and I don't think it'll be this year.
Okay.
No later than next year, for sure. It'll be done.
What are you going to call it?
Mysterious Malibu.
Okay. Well, that's perfect.
Oh, that's the title for now. But the photographs, the videos, and the artifacts that I found are compelling, but my personal relationship with these beings is what really sealed the deal as far as, you know, my motivation for writing this. Because, again, I said this before, I'm going to have to repeat myself, it isn't about me, it's about us. And you could say my life is a microcosm of the bigger picture for mankind. And I'm looking forward to the day when we don't even have to talk about disclosure or UFOs. It'll just be a given that we have extended family throughout this cosmos and the multiverse, which is multidimensional.
And I bet that they are believers or seeking God somehow. What do you think?
Who? The extraterrestrials?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Yes, there is a spiritual component for all living things, because that's where everything comes from, is from the higher spiritual levels. And it descends down to the lower vibrational levels that, you know, ultimately to this one here.
Years ago, Robert, the great author Frank Strangis wrote a book on a Venetian named Valiant Thor. Now,
right.
On the face of it, when he wrote that, a lot of people thought Frank was nuts.
I know.
The more I got to look at this story that he met with the president, Eisenhower, at the time, and tried to give them information and help us, and we rejected him, was amazing. Then a friend of ours, Craig Campobasso, did a movie about that. It's the strangest story I've ever heard about this guy named Valiant Thor who came here from Venus to try to help us, and apparently he's still here somewhere.
Well, this is the rumor. There's also a gentleman out there who's really making waves on the internet who claims he is the son of Valiant Thor and who spent time working with the CIA. And, you know, people have been writing to me, you know, saying, hey, did you know about this guy? Yeah, I looked at his video. I don't consider it to be authentic or accurate, but okay. Some people find it interesting. I did like Dr. Strange's. I only met him a couple of times. I went to a couple of lectures, and we had some interesting conversations.
Well, you have gone back, you know, for years investigating these different cases. And in terms of where we are today, Robert, with still not disclosure, but we've got people saying things. What do you think of that? And what do you think of the possibilities that we're going to get more information soon?
Oh, sure, we're going to get it, but is it accurate? The problem is, I don't feel, anyway, that we can get from any official source is not going to give us what we're looking for because they're involved. They've been compromised. Talk about collusion. I don't think this was like, hey, do you want to work for us kind of deal? No, it's like, we're going to make you an offer you can't refuse. It's going to be like, because I honestly feel like it's a cosmic crime syndicate. The ones that are psychopathic, that have these little empires going, It's a lot like the mafia. There's a lot of internal competition and corruption. And so I think when we finally get the whole story, it's going to be good, bad, and ugly.
Did you ever have a chance to look at the work of the late Zechariah Sitchin and his thoughts about the Anunnaki? What do you think of his thoughts?
Well, we had a mutual friend, so I actually spoke to Zachary on the phone. This was years ago.
Okay. Right?
And ultimately, we met one time in person at the Los Angeles
Conscious
International
Life?
Airport at a conference, yes. And I showed him one of the artifacts that I found, or was actually given to me in Malibu, and he almost fell out of his chair because it's actually the Belt Stars of Orion. And the particular secret society that made that, it's a cylinder seal. And you know, if you've read his book, you see the cylinder seals always talk about the gods.
Right.
Many times referring to Orion, but also this alleged Nibiru and whatnot. So my opinion of Sitchin is that he meant well, but I think that he was also being played. And look, I don't want to offend people, but I know it's going to happen. So I'm just going to apologize up front, just like I did last time. I didn't come on this show to offend people, but it's I think it's unavoidable. That my opinion of Sitchin as a person, very interesting man, seemed very polite, but his information, I think, from the source, I really believe that Marduk, the eldest son of Enki, was responsible for a public relations campaign, and that a lot of those so-called cuneiform tablets were altered.
Mm-hmm.
So that they would make Enki and his son Marduk in particular appear to be something that they're not.
Were they extraterrestrials nonetheless?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Of course they are. Okay. And actually, George, just before, about an hour before that we started this conversation, I got an email from somebody claiming to be Marduk.
Really?
Yeah. So I'll let you know if it really, look, as you said, I've been at this for over 30 years. I've had contact. This is not a big surprise to me because, again, I'm putting it out there. And if, in fact, this turns out to be Marduk, then I'll let you know. I'll put him in touch with your producers and see if you want to have him on.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to hoard this stuff, George. If it's real, then we all need to know about it and decide how to proceed.
Well, most of it on the face of it, Robert, one would say is way out there, is outlandish.
Yeah.
Come on, folks. Yet there's that possibility, and I think that's one of the luxuries of what you do and what I do. There's that possibility that just maybe there's some truth to this. And I think that's what keeps us going and keeps us pushing to get these answers.
Yeah, but the problem, George, is getting at the truth through all the layers of lies.
Yes, exactly.
That is the real work. And as you know.
And some of the distortion, some of the lies are set up, I think, by government to trick us and to send us down the wrong path. Others are done by individuals for their own little purposes. And you're right. It's very difficult for us as media folks or whatever you want to call us, to try to get to that bottom line, to try to get to that truth. I mean, heck, I remember years ago when I started doing Coast to Coast, Robert, Alan Corbett called me up, who was running the program at the time, and he said, I'd love for you to do an interview with a woman who claims that she's having a relations with a reptilian. And I said, come on, Alan, come on. And he said, no, really. So we put her on, and she was a compelling interview. Now, I don't know if it's real or not, but it sure sounded pretty positive. It really did. So I bet you face that all the time.
Oh, no, I've actually met that person at a house party. We have some mutual friends. Okay.
Her first name was Pamela. We'll say that.
Yes, right. So we were at a house party for some people in Hollywood, and because she is a performer, she is a lounge singer, pretty well talented person, actually.
Yeah.
But some of the stories, like you said, is just over the top. I mean, and if there's any little kids in the room, you want to send them out because she talks about some really intimate.
A little risque. That's right.
Yeah. But okay, so this is going on, and then one of the guys in the room, the door was open, and he starts acting very strange. He goes, "Did you see that?" And I go, "No. What are you talking about?" He goes, "I just saw a reptilian entity walk through the door." And somebody else says, "Yeah, I saw that too. Oh my God!" But it wasn't in a physical form. Now I don't know. Maybe that was related to it. Maybe people are just, you know how suggestible you start talking about it and then your mind can play tricks on you. But, hey, they were absolutely convinced that something was in the room monitoring the conversation at night.
That's true. What drives you, Robert? What keeps pushing you?
Well, I've been trying to figure this out because it seemed to me, I mean, it was made very clear to me that whoever these entities are, that they were watching me and on some limited basis were interacting with me in ways that I just couldn't quite understand. So it's been the ultimate enigma wrapped in a riddle for me. And like I said, though, I realized, oh, wait a minute, this isn't really just about me, that we're all involved in this to various degrees. And that's why I started reporting it. And as a result, I started getting more feedback from people around the world increasingly. I mean, as editor of Unicus Magazine, we had to do it the old school way, George. People actually would write to us, you know, physical letters.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were on the newsstands for a number of years, and that's how it went. But nowadays, it's, oh, my goodness, it's just so much easier. And the goal, I think I'm getting close to not only fully understanding it, but helping others to appreciate, I mean, fully the context in a way that's very clear. I don't like all this murky confusion that's going on.
Do you think some of the confusion is done on purpose to kind of push us in the wrong direction?
Yeah, and again, since we brought up Marduk and Enki, I do think that they're responsible. I mean, I know they're not going to like hearing that, and people that are fans of theirs, or followers, I guess you call it, are, again, this is offensive when I even mention it, but there are alternative viewpoints. Sitchin's...
Right. I think Michael Heiser has an opposite viewpoint than
He does, but for different reasons. For different reasons entirely. He claims it's inaccurate based on Michael's understanding of biblical text and other extra biblical text. I get that, but there's other people I told you about, like Wes Penray, and that is available in my library. And Lex was kind enough to put up a link to my library, which keeps growing, by the way. some of the authors that I find are rather obscure, but Wes Penray is intentionally not out there in the public. He's become more of a household name in these circles, but his viewpoint, his research is somewhat based on Sitchin, but goes way, way beyond it, and it gives us a more expanded view of the interplay, the intricacies of these various extraterrestrials.
All right. Robert, stay with us. We're going to hit a break, but we're coming back for more in a moment. Robert Stanley with us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We'll take calls next hour with Robert Stanley as we go back live to Hong Kong. That's where he is. Robert, what would you say in your career has been the most provocative area that you've covered?
Oh, I'll tell you what got me in the most trouble was when I was working for America's Morning News,
mm-hmm.
the correspondent. We were pretty lighthearted, and then I think it was 2011, that the White House released a long-form birth certificate for Barack Obama.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out to be a forgery, and I reported that. And, I mean, I asked the producer first. I'm like, hey, did you see this? And he's like, yeah. So let's do that. And I said, well, no, are you sure? So I did it, and then, I don't know. That really upset a lot of people. So that would be the most provocative thing that I've ever done in the media.
But your interest with the unusual, the paranormal, has been amazing, hasn't it?
Yeah, but the response to it in the media is pretty tepid. I mean, I think that they're pretty good at keeping a lid on it, even though just, you know, what happens, alleged disclosure through New York Times last year, December of last year, people thought that that was the beginning of the whatever, the grand disclosure, official disclosure. I mean, it's not, to me, that's no big deal, because that had to be approved by the Pentagon. But we're not even close to the real disclosure leading to up into first contact. It's kind of a weird way of putting it,
mm-hmm.
but that has to happen at some point. We have to officially have disclosure and first contact so that we can get on with the relationship with our extended family.
Are you convinced that there's a secret space program or shadow government out there?
Yes to both of those things, and it's for our benefit? No.
No, of course not.
No, I don't see how it could be. I mean, really, all the information out there I know is mostly based on speculation, but it appears that there's some pretty substantial evidence. And for, you know, okay, so when we were talking about Zachary Sitchin, our mutual friend was a high-level Mason who was also a CIA operative working in the aerospace industry who claimed he was from Orion. Now, that sounds weird, I know, but that's what he told me. And, I mean, he showed me some pretty wild stuff, and he was very close with Zachariah, and that's how he made the introduction. So I do think there's some things going on that we're obviously not privy to.
What's the end game? What are they trying to do?
I'm not privy to that information. If I was, I probably wouldn't be able to talk about it.
You wouldn't be here to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't want to just disappear, George. I do have a family.
And, yeah, I get it.
I mean, seriously, the gentleman I was telling you about, mutual friend, I did go to his home, my wife and I went to his home one day. And shortly after that, our telephone line was cut
mm-hmm.
entirely. When a guy showed up to fix the line, I said, "What's going on?" He goes, "Well, it was actually cut at the," and he basically said they got a court order to tap the phone, is what he was telling me. And I got,
amazing.
Really? Really?
I mean, what do they want?
Well, they want total control. They want to maintain total control over everybody. They're not sure who, because some of these extraterrestrials, actually quite a majority of them that are here, are human. And, you know, Bob Dean said this publicly, and he's a pretty high-ranking officer. And as a matter of fact, he's also told me he's a Knight of Malta, which means he definitely would have known things outside of just the military circles, military intelligence. Being a Knight of Malta is pretty high up there within the shadow government. So I'm sure he was correct when he said what he said about them being concerned about human extraterrestrials covertly coming here. How would they know? So this is why, I'm pretty sure this is why they're surveilling everybody, just to try and keep an eye on things.
The late physicist Stephen Hawking warned us all to be very careful about announcing where we are in the cosmos. What did you think of that?
Well, too late. I mean, isn't it? And besides, how are you going to stop it? The radio waves have been leaking out. Then it was television signals. And then we started blowing off atom bombs. If that didn't, you know, if the other stuff wasn't enough to get people's attention.
That woke them up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, as a matter of fact, there was something recently that got my attention was NASA has put out an animation saying that in the last 10 years, the number of what they call near-Earth objects, not asteroids, near-Earth objects has increased exponentially. Now, we're led to believe that this is just because their sensing equipment has gotten better and they're spending
right.
more time looking. But, George, what if it's not that? What if it's, in fact, that some of these objects out there, so-called, are actually hollowed-out asteroids that have, well, who knows what
right.
inside?
What if it's an invasion?
I think that already happened a long time ago. So, again, this coincides. I mean, that was released shortly after I took those pictures of the fleet of UFOs over Hong Kong, which I was wondering, where did they come from? Why are they here? Naturally, it's not to sightsee, and it's not for me just to take their picture. Although
no.
It coincided with that, they have to have an agenda or multiple agendas that are playing out. And I've told you this before. It's like a nine-dimensional chess game that's being played here, and most of us, unfortunately, are just pawns in this game.
Robert's website, unicusmagazine.com, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Very easy for you to just go to our website and link right to Robert's. You can look at those pictures that there's clearly there's something there. You can see that.
A lot of things flying around apparently in some sort of intelligent pattern. Now, again, that's only 6 out of 120. I'm working on putting the video together, but it's taking me a while to process it all. And I'm a little leery about putting it on YouTube only to be shadow banned or deleted or whatever. So I'm trying to figure out exactly what I'm going to do with that information.
What do you think of the $20 million government program to investigate UFOs? The one they disclosed about a year ago.
Yeah. Right. I'm not impressed. I don't think the guys in the Pentagon, because it's a compartmentalized on a need-to-know basis, I'm pretty sure that most of the people in the Pentagon really don't know what's going on. And that's another reason they don't talk about it publicly, is because it's a bit embarrassing. We're not on a level playing field here, George.
No.
By a long shot.
That is absolutely true. The president has announced that he wants a super space force. Maybe he doesn't know we already have one?
I don't know if he knows or not, but, I mean, he started off just sort of ruminating, thinking out loud, allegedly. That's the way it was reported when he was at Miramar down in San Diego, addressing some of the troops there. I think it was the Marines, if memory serves. It was either the Navy, Marines, same difference. And he was telling my, you know, maybe what we need is a Space Force. And then the next thing you know, he's saying, I'm directing the Pentagon to do this. Now, obviously, there's been pushback on that. But it is a directive. It's an active directive. So we'll see if they actually do it. I think they will, because they're going to have to. Why? Because corporations like Elon Musk and others, Bezos and whatever, they're saying they're going to Mars. But there's also these different countries that are saying, we're going to the moon. And, well, okay, once you start mining the moon and developing colonies there, there has to be some sort of law enforcement or military presence there.
Right.
Because how else are you supposed to keep the peace, let alone protect yourself from God knows what's out there?
Good point. You've also looked at souls. Tell me your interest in that.
My dad was a minister. So.
That's right.
Yeah, at Self-Realization Fellowship, he was a disciple of Yogananda. And so I've always been interested in that. I'm not a religious guy.
Spiritual.
Yeah, I'm very keen on spirituality. I've had some out-of-body experiences that seem to somehow coincide with my understanding of extraterrestrials, many of whom are also spiritually aware that we are interdimensional or extra-dimensional, because the soul is something that is non-physical, and yet it seems to animate and guide the physical realm or our physical being. There's a connection there, okay? And I've been trying to understand it now for some time. I mean, it was the whole point of so-called self-realization. It seemed kind of silly as a child. I mean, like, how would I not know who I am? My name's Robert, and I live, you know, and I'm growing up in Malibu, and I know my parents, etc. But it's obviously a lot more complex than that. And like I said, I'm 58. I'm finally getting some clarity on this issue, thank goodness. And that's one of the things I talk a lot about on my show, is these revelations or different insights that are coming to me. Some of them I've read when I was a child and a young teenager, and I read them, but it didn't fully. I couldn't. How could you comprehend something like that?
As a child, you can't.
No, but it was there. It was available to me because it was in my father's library.
It's difficult to comprehend sometimes, Robert, as an adult.
Well, obviously, especially the more programming or dogma that we have, that we believe, it becomes harder to move on. So in other words, when you're presented with something that may seem contrary, it's more difficult to accept the validity of it or the value or the implications of something like this. The book, The Autobiography of a Yogi, is something I only recently rediscovered, and there's a chapter in there that is absolutely phenomenal, chapter 43, where Yogananda's guru, Sri Yukteswar, allegedly comes back after his physical death. He appears in a room to Yogananda and tells him about life on other worlds in the astral plane, which is just above this one. And it's reading it now, it actually makes sense. And I also realize that some of those concepts actually stuck with me throughout my life. Sort of it's lingering in the background, sort of, and I know they were foundational in helping me to move on to the next and the next and the next level of understanding.
Let's get back to Sitchin for a moment, because
sure.
Though you may not agree with his end result, you do agree he was right about the Anunnaki coming here?
Yeah, I just disagree that they left.
You think they're still here, don't you?
I'm absolutely sure of it, but it's like, you know, you had to prove it. They obviously don't want to give us too much information at this time for whatever reason. And I think, again, part of it has to do with their own internal conflicts that are going on there. So they've got issues that they need to work out that really don't have a whole lot to do with us.
You may be right, because I asked a question years ago. Where did they go? Why did they leave?
Yeah, good question.
You know, when they had everything here on this planet.
And if we're part of their empire, why wouldn't they give us more information or directly have a dialogue? And I told you, that's what my goal is. As long as I'm still doing this level of journalism, that's the goal. That's really the goal, I think, and I'm going to try and do that. And it's not exactly easy, and it may never even work, but if I don't try, you know, obviously, for sure, I'm not going to succeed at it.
No, you've got to try. I mean, that's the essence of everything we do here.
Yeah.
And this person who approached you, and she said she was from Venus?
Correct. Her name is Sai Ma, and she teaches a form of yoga. But she talks about the Anunnaki, and that's how I came up. She was giving this dissertation or lecture, and then she said, is there any questions? And then somebody said, yes, do you know Robert Stanley? I'm not kidding. This is when I talked on the phone. I'm like, why did you call me? And she says, oh, yes, one of my disciples is saying I should call you and talk to you. I'm like, whoa, that is strange. Because, as I said, my dad was, you know, a minister in Eastern religion under Yogananda. It was all about yoga. With some Christianity thrown in there and Buddhism, and it was, you know, it was a very interesting hybrid type situation. But now to be talking to her and about the Anunnaki and how that relates to Eastern religion, that was a surprise.
Who is Babaji?
Ah, thank you. He would be after I spoke to Sai Ma, that's what I was asking myself. Because, she said to me something, and I said, oh, you know Babaji? And she said, no, I know him. I said, what? You know? And then I said, oh, you know he has a sister? Because that was started flashing in my mind as she was talking to her. And she said, yes, her name is blah, blah, blah. Actually, most people call her Mataji. It just means benevolent mother. Babaji is a title, by the way. It's not a name. It's a title that means divine or benevolent father.
Ah, okay.
So anyway, she's telling me this, and I go, yeah, he's got a sister. She said, yes, I know. And then she was basically intimating that she was his sister, and I'm like, this is really weird. So the next day, I couldn't help the feeling with he orchestrated us meeting. He's been known to do that. And then the next day, I'm sitting there going, well, who the heck is this guy? He's been a part of my life as long as I can remember because of Self-Realization Fellowship with Yogananda. That's part of the lineage, the spiritual lineage. It's from Babaji to a guy named Lahiri Mahasaya to Sri Yukteswar to Yogananda, who brought yoga, specifically Kriya Yoga, to the U.S. And that's how my dad got involved, and that's how I've been. It's so Babaji was always there. Now, the next day after meeting Sai Ma, I sit at my computer. I type in Enki, Babaji, boom. I'm looking at a book from an author I'd never heard of. His name is Reverend Wiseman. And you can link to it. You guys have been nice enough to put the link up on your website. It's also on my homepage at unicusmagazine.com. Mm-hmm. If you want to read the book about Babaji the extraterrestrial, to answer your question, he is the third son of Enki. He is an Anunnaki But he is more than that. He is an ascended master. His spiritual path has been, I don't know how he managed to do it. I'm sure it'll become clear to me. But he really feels that it's time for us to know him, his full identity. So he's known as Babaji, but he's also known as Thoth, as Hermes, Quetzalcoatl, Viracocha, Ningishda, that's a tongue twister. He has many different names because he's been here for a very long time. He never left, but he's one of the benevolent ones. He is definitely a benevolent being as far as I'm concerned.
Interesting. Did they genetically alter whatever creatures were on this planet, and here we are?
That seems to be the case, yeah. For whatever reason, I doubt it was for mining gold, though. I know that's part of it.
Yeah, I never got that. Sprinkle it up in the atmosphere. I never got that.
Yeah, but George, come on. They had artificial intelligence and machinery. They didn't really need to create a worker to just go down there into the mines. They could have easily. And besides that, commercialization of space resources is a real thing. There's plenty of gold on these various asteroids out there. They didn't need to go deep into the mines of Africa to do that.
Good point. And are they our gods?
Yeah, unfortunately. And here's the problem. Okay, so Marduk is the first son of Enki, also known as Lucifer.
That's a great name, isn't it?
Well, it is, but it's a title. Hey, look, Enki just means Lord of Earth. Lucifer means is another title.
Well, let's talk about that, Robert, when we come back, and we'll take phone calls with you, too, on Coast to Coast AM.